It was a beautiful warm day, bright sun and blue skies, the rains now long gone. It was a nice spot, too, beside a rancher's grazing, stretching down from a low hill all the way to the edge of clear, sparkling water. Damn, but it looked a lot like home. I was still looking for a chance to ask about Holly, remembering that it had been quite a while since we had spoken. But before I got an opening, there was the milling about, spreading ground cloths and unpacking utensils and getting me propped. The attendants left then, only to be replaced by Cortez, face glistening with sunscreen. He was helped by Karen, of all people, with the carrying of the food and liquor. She smiled pleasantly at me, said hello and the rest. She even went to the trouble to feel my forehead, a more token gesture than could be believed. Then she picked a spot a couple of trees away, cuddling up with a glass of wine and a shaded book screen, and looking, well, perfect. Others from the project wandered by, snatching bites of chicken and sips of wine, a long procession which was apparently planned, since there were ample stores for the long afternoon. At one point there were a good 36 people gathered around us, chattering, gossiping, giggling. I was left pretty much alone, either in deference to my health or my notoriety, or most probably both. Just the same, I missed nothing, however juicy or dull. Laya, sitting beside me, was the favorite of all. Everyone stopped to chat with her. She charmed each of them individually and thoroughly, and made it look easy. She seemed to know everyone by name, for one thing, which was damned impressive, particularly since most of those in attendance were crew, rather than the scientist types she was usually around. Occasionally I would break off from admiring the performance of Laya's social flair to check on Karen, infinitely more beautiful than anyone else, and growing more so as the afternoon sun blazed multicolored in her hair. She was, nevertheless, left alone. It may have been her position that discouraged approaches. She was boss to most of those people, after all. Or, for all I knew, she had the reputation of a loner, or a bore, or even a bitch. But I didn't think so. It was her beauty. Curled up on the grass reading, a glass of wine in her hand, she was more painting than real. Her face, in classic profile, was unusually calm and serene, and framed with casual perfection by a few golden strands which had slipped free from the luscious hole flowing across her shoulders and halfway down her back. She was wearing a spotlessly white crew jumpsuit. It provided the fundamental thread linking the necessary contrasts of blue sky, eyes, blonde hair, skin, green grass, trees. The view was a painting. Angel descended among mortals. I was frankly grateful to be there at that instant. For all those who were not, however well or long they had known her or would, had missed it. I could not imagine she would ever, in her strident life, manage to repeat that breathtaking image. It was her beauty that kept them away. It was intimidating. No woman could stand the comparison that side-by-side conversation would inevitably illuminate. And the men, how does one approach and disturb the angel in repose, even should he wish to crack the crystal? Look, touch not. And everyone, to be sure, looked. The gathering about Laya stirred constantly with the oft-repeated turning of heads. The women snatched, or rather sneaked, glances, brief, probing, envious. Some of the men followed suit, not wishing to be obvious, but many didn't care. They simply arranged themselves so that she was in easy view, and thereafter rattled conversationally along with people they never saw.